Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and have had a wonderful Easter long weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Tuesday, the 7th of April. Coming up, we've got a message to patients as resident doctors in Kent go on strike.
It is going to be very tough over the next 6 days, but obviously, sadly, we've become really well practiced at dealing with strike action. And so, just as previously, our health services will be doing everything they can to keep care going for patients.
A young woman with a common condition tells us about her 7-year battle for treatment.
It's not taken seriously by anyone. And when I say to people, I've got bags of clothes that I can't wear, they're like, well, just wear them. I don't want to ruin my nice clothes. Some of them were expensive from when I was able to work, you know. And also, I should be able to wear them comfortably.
And Gillingham's winless run finally comes to an end.
I think from the start we were really good. Obviously, things were perfect, things we could definitely work on. But as a team, I felt we worked well together today and, really happy.
But first, on the podcast today, an investigation is underway after a skydiver died at an airfield in Kent. Emergency crews were called to Headcorn Aerodrome yesterday morning after eyewitnesses reported seeing an object falling from the sky. Lucy Barrett was among them. She'd been due to complete a charity skydive in aid of a brain tumour charity before being told by operators Go Skydive that it had been cancelled. Well, she's told Kent Online how she was in a group with 5 people who saw what they thought was a person falling after their parachute failed to open. Now, flights were grounded for the rest of Easter Monday, and we've had this statement today from Go Skydive.
We are aware of an incident involving a solo club skydiver at a drop zone in Headcorn. Our thoughts are with those affected. We would like to express our sincere thanks to all emergency services and on-site teams for their swift and professional response, as well as to the ground staff who are assisting at this time. A British Skydiving Board of Inquiry will investigate the accident and, when completed, will submit reports to the coroner, the police, the CAA, British Skydiving and any other relevant authorities. The report will include the board's conclusions and will, if appropriate, make recommendations. At this stage, we are unable to provide any further information. We will continue to cooperate fully with the appropriate authorities and will provide updates if and when it's appropriate to do so.
Our reporter Louis Walker visited the aerodrome earlier today and has the latest for us.
There's no sign of any emergency services this morning. Police and fire crews were called to the airfield at around 9 a.m. yesterday after an eyewitness reported seeing an object falling from the sky. Police were seen arriving before leaving to access nearby fields, but one patrol remained for some time and 3 forensic vans were still parked up at around 7 p.m. yesterday. A Cessna 208B Grand Caravan plane known as Logan in the flying community was seen on flight radar leaving the aerodrome at 8:36 a.m. yesterday. It's known to be used for skydiving and parachuting activities and landed again at 9:24 a.m. and it was the last aircraft to take off or land at the site for the all of yesterday. But here this morning, planes have been seen landing and taking off from the airfield.
Now, we've also been in touch with the police, ambulance service and Civil Aviation Authority for a comment. You'll be able to get the very latest on this story by visiting Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories for you today, and police have released pictures of 2 men they want to speak to following a fatal stabbing in Whitstable. 19-year-old Ashton Harrington was found in Belmont Road in the early hours of Good Friday. Reporter Joe Crosley visited the scene for the podcast and has some more details for us.
When I visited the scene around 9 a.m, a police cordon was in place. From one end of the cordon, set up around Old Bridge Road, I could see a red and white tent in the middle of the road near Windsor House, which is a block of flats which overlook the residential street. The police later told us that they had been called due to reports of a serious assault, and that when they arrived, they found a man with injuries consistent to stab wounds. Police say they have launched a murder investigation and they are appealing for more information.
Investigators believe the men who are known to the victim could help with their inquiries. It's thought they have links to Herne Bay, Whitstable, Canterbury, Sittingbourne and Ramsgate. We've shared their images at Kent Online and via our socials. Investigations are continuing after a suspicious fire at a block of flats in Margate. Seven engines were called to the blaze at All Saints Avenue yesterday afternoon and smoke was seen billowing from behind Dreamland. There have been no reports of any injuries. A Dartford man accused of historic serious sexual offences is due to enter a plea in court later. The charges relate to five female victims and the offences are alleged to have happened in the South London area between 2003 and 2019. 58-year-old Adebayo Adeyemi is due at Woolwich Crown Court. An Ashford man who hid a tracker on his ex-partner's car has been placed on a high-level community order. Carl Newham bombarded the woman with calls and texts and even turned up at her home after refusing to believe their relationship was over. The 51-year-old, who gave a care address of Beechholm Drive in Kennington, must do 200 hours of unpaid work and attend rehab.
Kent Online reports.
Now, there's a warning. Health services in Kent could be impacted as strike action gets underway today. Resident doctors, who used to be known as junior doctors, are walking out until next Monday. This is all over a long-running dispute with government about pay. Well, Dr. Kate Langford is the Chief Medical Officer for NHS Kent and Medway. She's been speaking to Kate.
I mean, it is going to be very tough over the next 6 days, but obviously, sadly, we've become really well practiced at dealing with strike action. And so just as previously, our health services will be doing everything they can to keep care going for patients. And I really want to stress that for the most urgent and emergency cases, that care will be there. So we will prioritise making sure people with the most urgent need are looked after.
What sorts of procedures and things have you been able to put in place just to keep disruption to a minimum?
So a lot of planning has gone in ahead of today to make sure that our emergency and urgent services are staffed. So things you might expect, such as the accident and emergency department, the ITU departments, maternity departments. So a lot of focus will have been on making sure that there are the medical staff to run those departments as usual. Wherever possible then, people will keep operations going. So if people have got a planned operation, that will go ahead unless you've been told otherwise. So I would very much encourage people to come along for their planned procedures unless they've heard otherwise, because we aim to keep the vast majority of those going. And obviously we always look to doing the most clinically urgent cases first. Outpatients, for example, will keep going as far as possible. So again, unless someone's told you your outpatient appointment is cancelled, please do come along the same as you would have done usually. So a lot of planning will have gone in to make absolutely sure that we can run as much as possible.
Is it important to remember that the staff that are working, they shouldn't have to bear the brunt of any frustration or anger that patients might be feeling at this time?
Yes, I think you make a really good point there. The staff who are working are, of course, they're working under pressure when other colleagues who would normally have been there might not be. So yes, I would say to people using the services, I do understand this is incredibly frustrating and I really feel for people whose care is disrupted. But you're quite right, the staff who are there and working are doing their very best in difficult circumstances.
You mentioned before, you know, urgent care and critical care will be given to those who need it. Patients, you know, shouldn't be, you know, this is not cause for alarm. They shouldn't be panicking. Care will still be available. Would we, you know, hope to sort of redirect people to sort of NHS 111 and pharmacies and things like that for the non-urgent cases?
Yes, absolutely. If you think you might need a consultation with someone and it isn't urgent, then I would say please use NHS 111 to get advice, because they will be able to signpost you to places that will still be open and not affected by the doctor's strike. For example, local pharmacies can often provide care and advice for common ailments. So yes, please do try and use 111 to get advice about where you can go please don't go to the accident and emergency department by default, because they really are going to have to focus on the most urgent and emergency cases.
The British Medical Association is calling for a more credible offer from ministers. Meantime, the government's gone ahead with a threat to pull 1,000 training places for medics. Elsewhere, bosses in Medway are due to decide later if they should buy almost 800 homes to boost the number of council properties they have to offer. The authority's cabinet is considering borrowing nearly £46 million to purchase the houses from a social housing provider. If approved, the council would take over the management of the buildings and collect rent from the tenants. It comes as Medway has become the latest part of Kent to set out plans to tackle health inequalities. A report's been released today showing there's a 10-year gap in life expectancy between residents who live just 4 miles apart. Bosses are now looking at reducing that gap by improving access to safe and secure housing, fair work and quality education. Almost £3 million will be needed from developers behind a housing estate in Ashford to help upgrade and expand local healthcare services. There are plans to build 800 homes at the former Newtown Railway Works after a previous proposal for it to become a base for Netflix was dropped. NHS bosses say a financial contribution is needed to help mitigate extra pressure locally.
Kent Online reports.
This is one of our most read stories on the website today. An Ashford man has avoided being sent to prison after marrying for a second time without getting a divorce. Wayne Williams never officially split from his first wife after their marriage broke down in 2008. He went on to tie the knot again in 2019. The 45-year-old from Rowan Place in Headcorn was charged with bigamy after he was found out on Facebook. He's been given a suspended sentence and ordered to do rehab and unpaid work. He's also got to pay more than £200. A Kent man is calling on local bosses to approve plans for a new bungalow urgently so he can care for his seriously unwell wife. David Marks applied to build the property in Smarden near Ashford for Yvonne, who suffers from dementia and Parkinson's disease. He says she's currently in a care home, but her health is deteriorating. The councillor expected to make a decision this month. Now, a young woman from Kent has been telling us about her battle to get treatment for a common condition after nearly 7 years of symptoms. Freya Baker has something called hyperhidrosis, which causes excessive sweating. The 25-year-old from Tenham near Sittingbourne says it makes it difficult to work or carry out day-to-day tasks.
As much as I shower multiple times a day, it makes no difference. And showering multiple times a day is actually worse for you than it is good. You're drying out your skin. There's so many more complications to it. I've ended up with cracked skin all over me because of the amount I shower. And it doesn't change anything. Temperature. I cannot go out in summer. Winter, I can put loads of layers on and I can cover it up just fine. I'm still really uncomfortable and I'm really panicky about it, but I'm aware that people can't necessarily see it. In summer, what am I going to do? Walk around in black hoodies? I'm going to get ill. You're going to overheat and dehydrate even more. And I'm already dehydrated because I sweat 4 times more than the average person. I can't drink enough water to keep up with the sweating. So you're in a permanent stasis of constantly sweating, but also being very dehydrated. And I've got bags of clothes. I've bagged up pretty much 95% of my wardrobe. I haven't worn a white top in years. My whole of my 20s has been taken away by this. People in their 20s are meant to be living. You're meant to be enjoying things. And as much as I don't drink, I still enjoy stuff. I still want to go out with my friends. I want to live. And I'm barely even surviving at this point. I constantly look outside. I'm like, oh, look how nice that weather is. I hope everyone else can enjoy it because I can't. And everyone just says, oh, well, just go out and don't think about what other people think. If that was an option, but unfortunately I've got a panic disorder as well as BPD. So I can't help how I feel about things. My feelings get hurt very easily. I'm a very emotional person. That makes life difficult enough to then go out and feel like everyone's looking at me. Or how am I meant to go? Like, I've got job interviews coming up. I've now got to think of a way to like put things under my armpits, but also dress professionally and make sure that they don't notice it. It's impossible. There's no way to do it. So basically now my only plan is to tell them, look, I have hyperhidrosis. There's a reason I'm dressed the way I am. I would dress more professionally for you, but I physically can't do that. I shouldn't have to over-explain. I shouldn't have to, you know, dance circles around my own life just so that I don't bother other people with my condition and things like that. It's debilitating in a different way to like, yeah, I don't have mobility issues, but I'd almost rather a mobility issue, because at least then no one would be looking at me and thinking, well, there's nothing wrong with you, you know, or you can just do everything that everyone else can do. It's a more obvious disability, and it's recognised as a disability. Having something that's not even recognised as a bloody medical condition is a nightmare, because it's not taken seriously by anyone. And when I say to people, I've got bags of clothes that I can't wear, they're like, well, just wear them. I don't want to ruin my nice clothes. Some of them were expensive from when I was able to work, you know. And also, I should be able to wear them comfortably. That's the idea of dressing how you want to dress, being comfortable. So whenever I see women walk past my windows and they're wearing like tight white t-shirts or vest tops and crop tops, it doesn't make me angry, but it frustrates me. I'm so jealous, and it's so hard as well. I'm lucky I've got a partner that is completely unbothered by it. He literally almost pretends it doesn't exist. It's wonderful. But if I was a man seeking a woman or whatever, it's a noticeable thing. So there are people that don't want to date and that don't want a social life because they don't want to sweat on other people. I've got nephews that I can't give a proper... That's horrible. And then I've had people making fun of the fact that I can't cuddle my nephews or my stepchildren properly. And I do not get when we became so hateful. I truly don't. But it's heartbreaking. I want people to stop being so horrible to one another. Help. Help each other. Reassure people. Tell us that it's okay, you know? Don't just shame everyone for something that they can't help.
Now, Freya has been approved for Botox treatment, but it could be another 18 weeks before an appointment's available. She's urging others with the same condition to fight for their right to be listened to. 90 years on, the first flight of an iconic aircraft is due to be marked with a flypast in Kent later. It's commemorating the Supermarine Spitfire, which took to the skies for the first time in 1936. A two-seater plane painted in the colours of the original prototype is expected to head to the Battle of Britain Memorial at Capel the Fern near Folkestone. An appeal's been launched to restore a gravestone belonging to an icon of Medway. Thomas Waghorn is a Chatham-born naval officer whose statue in the town has become famous for sporting traffic cones on his head. His grave is 10 miles away in Snodland, and the local conservation society is raising money to have it restored. And if you live in Ramsgate, you've got the chance to get involved in workshops ahead of a St George's Day parade in the town. The idea is to help make helmets, swords, shields, dragons and crowns to be used during the procession. The main event will take place on Sunday, April the 19th, setting off from the St George's Church and heading along the High Street.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and Gillingham's six-game winless run has come to an end. They beat Accrington Stanley 2-0 yesterday in front of a home crowd at Priestfield. Defender Andy Smith scored his first goal for the club, and he spoke after the match to the club's media team. Said he was pleased they got a clean sheet too.
Buzzing. Feel like it's been a long time coming. Just really happy to have finally done it.
From a collective perspective, I know you guys have been desperate to win at home. You finally did it today, and it's probably as comfortable and as dominant as it probably could have been.
Yeah, I think from the start we were really good. Obviously, things were perfect, things we could definitely work on. But as a team, I felt we worked well together today, and really happy.
You're very well drilled, very, very solid. Didn't give much away. I don't think Accrington have had a shot on target. It was just how good we were.
Yeah, and again, that's something that we strive for every single week. It's just about doing it a bit more consistently now. I think that's the level for us. Hopefully we can build on this.
Despite the result, the Gills remain 17th in League Two. Let's hear now from manager Gareth Ainsworth.
I don't want to get carried away with the one win, you know, but I've been saying about the players we've been missing. And I stand by that, you know. When we've got injured players, it's hard. It's hard to put a team together. So you go back and you look at the four defeats that we had, and quite sort of five, was it six, like big defeats, hard defeats to take. But we were understrengthed a lot, you know. We really were playing probably some of the top teams in the league. It's not those that I worry about too much. It's the draws just before Christmas and around Christmas. I think they're the things that have cost us this season, you know. You go on those runs, and because we had so many injuries, we've got another injury now. I picked Armand a little up, you know, today, who... looks like he's got a nasty finger injury that might need surgery, you know. So that could be him done now as well. So he adds to that list that are all done for the season, which is hard, you know, as a football manager. So, but onto the game, great performance, you know, really was, you know, a solid working, good playing, still some stuff to work on without a doubt, you know, but to win at home was a big thing, you know, and I think the fans have had a great Easter and obviously turned up well today for us. Thank you very much for that. And some new faces, and Louis Dial getting a from the youth teams, you know, and the next one to come through and play his debut. So lots of positives. Still changes to be made, without a shadow of a doubt. Needs to change this place, definitely. That's going to happen. But I'm hoping that people have that feeling like we were in earlier in the season and when I first came in. So that was good too.
In terms of the defensive structure, it was organised, it was well-drilled, disciplined.
Yeah.
I don't think Accrington's shot on target. It was probably as comfortable as it could have been.
Yeah, brilliant, you know. Andy Smith, Sam Gale, you know, played as two centre-halves earlier in the season against teams like Notts County and right at Walsall, right at the start of the season, and they were fantastic, you know. And we sort of lost our way a little bit. And to be fair, they've come today with another solid performance. They worked well as a pair, you know. Being able to put Connor on for 10 minutes at the end there was nice as well to see him, because we have lost our good players, you know, and Omar's coming back soon and Robin McKenzie's coming back soon. You know, these are great names to add to this squad. But Romeo and Clarkey again, you know, real good performances, this solid defensive shape. Yeah. And Glenn Morris keeping a clean sheet is always nice to see, you know. So, yeah, really pleased that you noticed that, because I do work a lot on that. And they were solid. There was times when Accrington looked like they'd get away and then we'd stop them. We'd recover really well. But again, the people in front of the back four are the ones doing all the running, doing all the closing. Unsung heroes today, Ronan Hale. Worked his socks off with one up front against two centre-halves. It's hard to do, you know. Doesn't get a lot of reward for it, but works his socks off. Team performance, Seb, absolutely everywhere, you know. Nelson Kumbeni, what a couple of games he's had, you know. And that's what I want to see from Nelson. I think he's been great. And Marn's back as captain, obviously. So, G-Mac in a little different position and Lenny Serino getting a chance on the wing, you know. So I think, yeah, lots went well today. And I'm really pleased with a 2-0 win, which I thought we deserved.
And Gillingham's next game will be away at Salford City on Saturday. On to cricket now, and Kent's first game of the county championship season has ended in a draw at Durham. Two under Muyai hit an unbeaten century and finished 109 not out as Kent reached 234 for 5 in their second innings. The next match in Division 2 is against Northamptonshire in Canterbury. That one gets underway on Friday. And in ice hockey, some disappointment for Kent's Invicta Dynamos, who've lost their playoff semi-final. They were 2-0 down going into the home tie against Slough Jets, but were beaten 7-3. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium as well. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.